I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson here from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We are here talking real estate this morning. Glad you could be with us on this Saturday, January. What is it, Keith? January 11th. Is that right? Yeah.
I think so. It's a football weekend. Game time.
I thought it was World War III.
It's a bad day to be a
terrorist. I'm talking Tigers versus Tigers.
It's a bad day to be a terrorist and a good day to be a Tiger.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You hit that's exactly right. So, yeah, should be a great game on Monday. Chris has actually gone to New Orleans, his favorite city. Maybe, I don't know. You know, I bet New Orleans, if that's not his favorite city, second favorite city.
Yes.
The only one I might rank a little higher than that is Las Vegas. you know, one day they'll have that national championship in Las Vegas. You know, the Raiders are building that new stadium out there, you know, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it go to Las Vegas at some point.
I would think so.
There's a little bit of, you know, there's still a little cloud around the sports gambling scene and all that.
Right, but, that's true. Yep.
You know, that would be the only thing that holds it up. But anyway, it should be a great game on Monday. A lot of talk in the office this week.
There was a lot of buzz about it, wasn't there?
A lot of
game analysis.
Yes, and we got another loan officer who's heading down. He does not have tickets.
Really?
Well, he thinks he does.
He's got what he thinks is some backup tickets.
He does. I told him. I said,
but they were way up top.
Yeah, and he doesn't like that.
No. No.
But, you know, he can't swallow $800 that he's already spent.
But you know
on
what?
Tickets.
I talked to Mary a little bit about, we're talking about Bobby, and that day, you know, he's leaving at 5:30 and returning on a 6 a.m.
He
flight.
Doesn't know how to have fun.
And, well, you know, she booked that. He blames it on
absolutely
her.
Absolutely terrible, in
but
my opinion.
I'm not sure I could do that, J.D.
No, listen, okay, first let's talk about that. So, and there's a lot of Clemson people maybe not doing this, but doing kind of what they're doing. He's going to get up at 4 o'clock.
Right.
They're going to drive to GSP. They're going to get on the plane at 5:30. They'll be in New Orleans by 7, probably 6:30.
No, about 9:30,
okay,
think.
So there's a, they got to go to Atlanta.
They got to go to
then.
Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I mean, that doesn't add any fun to the equation.
But they're driving from the airport and the stadium downtown an hour outside of New Orleans for a less expensive hotel.
It's making it too hard, Keith.
Right?
Making it too hard.
And so they hope to get a little nap, right? Get a little bit of rest.
Yeah.
Game time is 8.
How are you going to get a nap? How are you going to get a nap 6 hours before kickoff?
Yeah.
Now, here's what I would do.
You got to watch pregame.
I told Jennifer, if Carolina ever makes it to the Sugar Bowl.
Finish the story, though. It's where he's – then game time.
And then game time.
Then drive back to the hotel.
Okay, so then let's just say Clemson wins. Okay, they're going to be all keyed up. They ain't getting sleep till 1, 2.
No, they have to drive – from back. The stadium is an hour.
Yeah.
So 12 to 1.
Okay.
They get at the hotel at 1, and they got to be at the airport at 6.
Yeah. No, count me out.
No, they got to be on the plane at 6.
Now, let me tell you how the J.D. Nelson would do it. I would go down. I would already be down there. I would have left Friday afternoon.
That's right.
Gotten down there, had a nice dinner on Friday night, had Saturday, Sunday, game time Monday, and then I would have turned around about midday on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And come on
now,
back.
Now, not everybody has the resources you have, J.D.
No, Keith. You gotta take advantage of when
it's a once in a lifetime deal.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Right. And we wish them well and a lot of good luck from everybody in South Carolina.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
Well,
JD?
There's a lot of people driving. I will say this: a lot of people are driving down there today. I know some people that are already in Alabama and different places spending the night and this and that. And there's a bad storm that's coming up through there. They really need to be careful because they're going to have to drive right through it or just take shelter, and they really should take shelter. It's going to be pretty bad, I think. So it's supposed to hit the Greenville area, I think, tonight.
Now, even the Gamecock fans are publicly pulling for Clemson, right? But I don't know if they are private.
No, absolutely.
Oh, no,
you know,
okay.
There is a lot of chatter out there. I do not understand. I pull for Carolina, and I will be pulling for LSU very hard.
Ouch.
I don't understand what the problem is with that. Why is that a big deal?
Well, let the phones light up.
Okay, I mean, because I'm from the state of South Carolina, I have to pull for Clemson. Is that what?
Yeah, that's the rule.
That is not the rule, Keith. That is not the rule. Listen, I hope everyone gets down there safe and back, and they come back heartbroken. That's what I think. And there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. They would not pull for Carolina. So. Hey. That's what I say.
I'm with
and
you.
And Georgia Bulldog, don't you sit over there like, you know, all innocent and everything either. So, anyway, but it should be a great game. I'm actually really looking forward. It should be a great, probably, and this will make everybody mad. After the Ohio State game, I really thought they were the best team.
Oh, my
team.
Good, I did too.
They surprised me. I was like, wow, Ohio State may be the best team of them all, and Clemson did a great job of pulling that game out. And
that looked like an SEC game, didn't it? The physical nature.
It sure
of the
did.
Game.
Yeah, it really did. And I think Clemson, Ohio State, and LSU are by far the best three teams. And it will be a great game between Clemson and LSU too. So I'm looking forward to watching it. So, all right, we're gonna head into our first break. If you've got a question or comment, give us a ring 866-442-7553. That is a toll free number. 71307 is a text line. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. You're listening to House Plans. J.D. Nelson from County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. We are talking a little real estate today. If you got a question or comment, give us a ring, 866-442-7553. The text line is open as well at 71307. You can call, text. We'll talk about anything today. Chris is gone, and the
kids are at play.
Yeah, that's right.
We're playing around.
That's right.
So, one more thing. We have to say this on the air, but J.D. said it off the air. We want to know if Clemson University bought WYFF. Do they have the controlling interest?
I think they do. John Humphreys, if you're listening, you owe me a phone call.
We should text him.
We should. We should. John's a great guy, but he has lost control of the news station, for sure. All right, enough about that, Keith. This is a real estate show.
Yeah. We didn't get the numbers. We were going to discuss the sales numbers, the closing final numbers for the year.
Yeah, they didn't quite come out. I'm expecting December to be, you know, the same as it was last year, if not maybe a little up.
I think so, too.
I don't see a whole lot of change there, which will put us somewhere between 5% and 6% up for year over year, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Record territory again.
Yeah, which is amazing. And we predicted a 1% to 2%
increase. We were just
looking
at October's numbers. There were more than 1,200 transactions in October, and you know, just 4 or 5 years ago, that would have been a June number.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, if we've talked about this too, you know, here we are in January 2020. In January of 2019, the real estate numbers were down 20% year over year. Now, there are several reasons that contributed to that, in my opinion. I think the way the calendar worked out last year, if I'm not mistaken, the 30th and 31st fell on a weekend, number one. I believe, you know, you've always got the first and you got the holiday and typically, you know, the second, third, you know, that kind of thing.
So some of those closings were pushed into the first
of February. Right. Yeah. And then we also had, I believe last year we had a snow that came in and cost us a couple days. Now that's not 20%, but it's enough to push things back, you know, and that sort of thing. And of course, interest rates were a lot higher a year ago than they are now. So
I was
all that kind of contributed.
I was looking at the survey graph of mortgage rates. And they have been in a steady decline all year long, haven't they?
Yeah, sure, yeah. Been pretty flat the last 60 days or so, you know, but still.
But you can get 30-year fixed money below 4.
Oh, no doubt. Yes, yes, no doubt about it. You're almost, you know, if you paid points, you'd really be in the mid-3s.
Yeah, so approaching par,
3.5.
At par, probably 3.6.
2.5, 3.75, depending on credit score and loan size. And you can get 3.5, you know, and I've got several people waiting on 3.5, but you got to pay some points to get there, and I don't know that it's necessarily worth it for those people paying
unless
4.25.
Unless you're sure you're going to be in the house for X number of years.
Correct. Yeah, that's right. So so there's some opportunity, but to kind of put a bow on my point, when January 2020 numbers come out during the first, you know, 10 days or so of February, we will have an increase, probably a pretty significant increase yes. over last year. But I think that's just a little blip for because of that 1 month. Because right. I remember February
but
bouncing back.
We generally don't look, or I don't look at the numbers on a month-to-month basis, really quarterly.
Right.
And then for me personally, I just look at the whole year because there's a great deal of fluctuation in timing and just individual client requirements. So it's tough in the real estate market to look at a month-to-month trend.
Yeah.
You need to look at the minimum of a quarter.
Yeah, I agree with that, and it'll be interesting to see because February last year actually it actually gained the 20% we lost
yes.
and almost caught right
and
back
more.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made me think that first week of February we closed a lot more deals, you know, in 19 as opposed to January of 19. So it'll be interesting.
And we think, of course, I was downtown yesterday. I had lunch at the Commons with a client. That's a new project that just opened adjacent to where Unity Park's going to be. So
oh, yeah,
my
okay.
nephew, who's a principal in Methodical Coffee, they just opened a new retail location. And actually, they're moving their roastery over there. I believe it's on Wellborn Street, which is down there behind where Unity Park's going to be.
Have they started moving dirt?
Oh, yeah, the dump trucks and not so much dump trucks, but the front end loaders and
sure.
the bulldozers are down there already.
Yeah, it's
so they've
gorgeous.
Cleared the site completely.
Wow.
The county was there. The city and the county were both there, I guess, looking, surveying, looking at lines and walking the site. I saw four or five people working down around Unity Park. And if you're not familiar with it, it's a 70-acre park that's right across the street from the Croc Center
yeah.
and where the historic Mayberry Park was. And if you want some interesting reading, there's a website dedicated for the history of Unity Park, the plans for Unity Park. I think I read where Michelin had stepped up and put $500,000 in for some particular component of the park. It's going to have somewhere between a 4 and 8 story observation tower. There'll be a walking bridge across the Reedy River there between the Commons and
yep.
those warehouse retail outlets. So it's quite exciting, really. And you're only about 4 or 5 blocks from the stadium when you're at the park.
Yeah, it's not far, really. It's really not. Yeah.
Big, exciting project. And then, of course, the other big, big project is the County Square project. You know, that's $1.1 billion.
Yeah, and they're going to tear, are they going to tear the whole thing down and
all
start
of
all
it
over?
Comes down. Yeah, the county will get a new building sitting, and I assume it'll probably be like the Camperdown project. They'll build that first. So the county has already purchased one of the buildings on the floor campus, and I think they overpaid for it, but I think they paid $70-something million.
They needed the buyer's broker to represent.
They did.
They
could have saved them about $20 million.
Yeah,
very sad. That's another whole conversation.
I know. Yeah.
But anyway, they'll move County Square offices out there while the developers are starting the project and building a new County Square office building. But the renderings are very. I was showing them to this client. He moved here in January of last year, and we have lunch every 10 days or 2 weeks, and I'm always trying to update him on kind of what's shaking because
sure.
It's hard to keep up today.
Well, and I'll tell you this, that whole area from Serene Stadium coming up whatever street that is all the way up to where County Square is, and then you get over to the stadium, but then also heading out towards Augusta, that whole area is it's amazing some of the things that are going on down there.
It's remarkable.
Me and Brandon, one of our LOs, we do Meals on Wheels, and we were down there delivering some meals to some folks, and there was some new construction going on right next door to where we were delivering, you know, these meals, and you know, we had our phones out, and I said, all right, let's play Name That Tune. Let's see if you can guess how much that house is listed for. Had a brand new listing sign in the yard and everything. I was astonished at how much they were asking for that house, and they'll get it. I'm sure it's worth every penny. But I was astonished at how much they were getting for, you know, and it was a tear down and they built new, you know, and it was a nice looking place and they had the interior photos and everything. I thought it was really well done. But we both, our target was very low compared to what we thought.
Yeah. And downtown is a separate market.
It is.
It's just a separate market. I'm having lunch with a client that bought a unit at Poinsett Corners. I guess he's been there 2 years. We paid $465 for 1,125 square feet. And I looked at some data yesterday just briefly, and I think it's went up about $75,000 in 2 years.
Amazing.
Whatever that is, about 20%.
I've done some loans in the Brio right there.
Yeah.
And same thing. Yeah, the values have just gone up.
And those were suppressed originally. The Brio
did not
do very well in the beginning.
Yeah.
Now you can command.
Now, do they have condos right there at the corner, kind of catty corner from University Ridge?
No, I think those are all apartments.
Okay. Yeah, and then on the ground floor
where
it's commercial.
Head is
and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a nice building. I noticed.
It is.
You know, when I was down there, I don't get downtown as much as you probably do, but... you know, I got to work now. And
well, I try to, I need to keep up. So I try to get down there 2 or 3 times a week.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, listen, if you've got a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you today. 866-442-7553. That is the toll free number. Of course, the text line is 71307. So if you have a text question, feel free to just reach out and shoot us a text and we'll talk about whatever topic you want to discuss today. But Keith, you know, talking about 2020. I think we both said that, you know, we're expecting a 1-2% increase probably.
I went a little higher than that.
You think it's 3-4?
Yeah.
Is that what you? Yeah. Okay. So 3-4 for Keith and 1-2 for me, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that shakes out. But both of us believe that we'll have an increase, maybe not as much as we saw this year. But you know, the market is strong in the upstate.
It is, and nationally, you know, the economy is strong. It's interesting when you have that conversation that the trouble in the Mideast this week, you saw an immediate response in the markets, but as soon as, you know, oil only jumped for one day.
Right.
I mean, it's up a little bit, but the U.S. is independent of global oil now.
Right.
So regardless of what happens in the Middle East, we're still going to have a good supply of oil. Now, the price of oil is a global commodity, so there would be some impact, but we're pumping a lot of oil. The economy is strong, and barring some catastrophic geopolitical event, I can't imagine us not doing better this year than last year.
Yeah, I agree, and especially, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the show. There are still a lot of people moving to Greenville. I mean, you've got a client that's moving here from the Midwest. You know, and it's kind of a different array of different people. Greenville is really becoming a not only a larger market.
A destination.
Yeah, but it's a lot of unique and a wider different array of people that are moving here.
That's
to the
baby
area.
Baby boomers, the corporate market. I don't think we have as many young professionals just coming here because it's a hot city, but they do come because of jobs. I had a client in from a prospective employee for a local company from Detroit just, you know, this past week.
Sure.
Millennials, very nice couple. I was in the right frame of mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm warming up to the millennials.
Well, good, good. Yeah, the millennials are getting older now.
They are, and this was a sales executive, this young man.
Yeah, how about that? So, yeah, it's good. And, of course, there's still a lot of local moves. You know, I still see a lot of people who are some moving up, some moving, you know, retreating back, you know, the baby boomers.
Right-sizing.
Yeah, and there's still a lot of that going on. And, you know, we had 2 houses on my street go under contract in the last 30 days. Which is kind of unique as well. You know, one was a good house, one not so good, but I was glad to see both of them go under contract.
I was checking a couple of neighborhoods this week just for some pricing information, and in both neighborhoods there was 0 active listings.
No kidding.
I was very surprised. I can't remember the neighborhoods, but both of them were popular neighborhoods. And normally you would see 4 or 5 homes available.
Yeah.
And there were 0 in both.
No kidding. Wow, that's amazing. Well, we'll have to talk a little bit about that after our bottom of the hour break. Yep. Yeah, inventory.
It's a problem.
It's a little bit of a problem. We'll talk about that and production builders and, you know, how that doesn't or does affect a little bit of the inventory there. But it should be interesting for sure. Well, listen, we are going to talk more real estate here after the bottom of the hour break. If you've got a question or comment, we would love to talk to you today at 866-442-7553. As Chris says, we will have free calls in the second half of the show. 866-442-7553. The text line will be open as well at 71307. So if you've got a question about buying, selling, anything to do with real estate, shoot us a text at 71307. I think Chris took off first thing this morning, Keith. And so he is probably in the air right now flying over the storm. And my question for you is, where is Chris's first stop when he gets – are they heading straight to
– to the tables.
Probably to Harris, yeah. I thought he might go to get some oysters or something, but he'll probably go to the tables first. Yeah, you're right. Well, listen, we'll be back right after this. You're listening to House Plans. We'll be back after the break. That's right. The number is 866-442-7553. Feel free to pick up the phone, give us a ring. Talking real estate today here on House Plans. J.D. Nelson here, County Bank Mortgage. Keith Clark with the Buyer's Broker. And you can also text us. The text line is open at 71307. I think I made everybody mad with my little Clemson jab.
Well, we would like some calls. J.D. and I don't do as well as when Chris is here guiding us through the show. So
that's correct. Everybody needs to be humble.
Yeah.
See, we're humble.
We're humble. So send us a text, ask us a tough real estate question. JD will give us a rate update. We talked a little bit about it earlier, but
yeah, I'll give you a rate
update.
Rates
continue
right
to be remarkably low.
Yeah, absolutely. So 15-year fixed, you know, low threes, 20-year fixed, mid threes, 30-year fixed, upper threes. All government loans are mid threes and down. So FHA, VA, you know, USDA, you should be paying well below 3.5.
That's remarkable to me.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, most of my VA deals that we're doing at 3.5, we're paying all the closing costs. So there's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, good opportunity, you know, there in that regard. You know, a lot of refinance opportunities. It's, you know, there's still a lot of people, Keith, out there paying that PMI, maybe bought their house in the last 2 years. Really need to consider doing a refinance, or let us take a look at it. And of course, you can always just shoot us an email at askjd@countybankmortgage.com. That's askjd@countybankmortgage.com. Send us a copy of your mortgage statement or a quick email just describing what the terms of your loan are, and we'll be glad to take a look at it and get you some free advice on, hey, here's what a refinance would look like. We think it's worthwhile, you know, for your time, or maybe it's not. And we can figure it out and go from there for sure. So a lot of opportunity there.
And JD did a little second opinion for me yesterday. I had a client who was outside the norm, and you said, hey, this is not bad. You know,
not a bad deal. Go ahead and lock it in.
Yeah,
if you
can get it locked in.
Yeah, if you can get it locked in, you'll be in good shape. That's right. So Keith, let's talk about inventory real quick. So I know, you know, I think we are maybe around 4 months inventory here in the upstate. Last time I looked, and, you know, so it's really more of a seller's market maybe than a buyer's market, if you want to look
it
at
is.
It like that.
Yeah.
But as we head into 2020, that may be the biggest challenge. I know you read some articles this week on some national numbers that were kind of mirroring that situation, maybe here in the upstate. You know, and we talked about production builders and that kind of thing, but inventory is going to be a big topic for this year.
It is, and just as recently as fourth quarter of last year, there was a conversation that said it's going to be a little bit easier to buy a house in 2020. So the prediction in the fourth quarter of last year was that we would see a little more inventory. But as we move into 2020, the conversation made a U-turn. And now you're seeing less inventory around the country. Now, I discussed with JD off the air of a production builder where a client of mine just put a house under contract, and they sold five the first 48 hours that they released the first group of lots, and they've sold seven or eight in the next 10 days. And they have, there's no model. They're nothing but pads, no permits. But the demand has just been remarkable.
And that is probably a because of what do you feel like? I feel like maybe that's
the, well, it's a combination of things.
People price are frustrated point, not finding what they can.
They if you can't find an existing home in the location that your ideal location, then you might move on to a production built home, maybe in a not a secondary location.
It's a guarantee,
but maybe not exactly where you would like to live.
Sure. And you know, that's a product of low inventory.
Yeah. No frustration.
Yeah.
So I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I think it was Chris in the office, and he was saying about a client that they were working with and a friend of his that you know, they missed two houses, finally put a third one on. So if you go out and look in the below 250, 275, anything under 275 probably, you're more likely to miss your first or second opportunity than to secure a contract.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Keith. You know, and of course, you know, the production builders aren't helping the inventory numbers so much, but they are relieving demand. You know, and a lot of people that are out there, like you say, miss it on one, miss it on two, for whatever reason it is. So there's a lot of challenges.
And they're not
there.
Specking as many houses as they are building custom houses or order taking.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, listen, we've got our first caller. We're going to go to the phone lines here. We've got, I believe, Robert on the line from Spartanburg. Hey, Robert, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you. Appreciate the nice card you sent me this week, and appreciate you calling into the show. I believe you are very active over there in the Spartanburg market. How is the inventory over that way?
That's what I was going to talk about. Inventory is up, especially on the numbers bigger than 250 and 300. Those are slow moving, but anything below 175 or anything below 200 is moving quick. Three listings in Bowling Springs in that range, they lasted 2 and 3 days only, as far as under contract.
Yeah. And Robert, you know, the price differential that you're discussing, there are a lot of baby boomers that have the trophy homes or the homes at a higher price point, and they are right-sizing. We're in the middle of that right-sizing from the baby boomers, and so I think you're going to see a little bit of growing inventory at the top end of the market. But at the entry level and median price, there's just a tremendous demand for anything. Sometimes doesn't have to be in great condition, just in the right price point.
Absolutely. And then what you mentioned earlier about millennials, this is going to be the year for them to really jump on it.
Yeah.
We had a team meeting this week, and that's what it was brought up as far as how they are aiming to not make the same mistakes parents have to go through the 2006, 2013 or so, when, you know, they saw everything dilapidated. So they are more cautious, and they are aiming for entry level at a price that will let them do the thing without any complications, I guess.
Yeah, and they have a completely different priorities. It's very interesting what a millennial looks for in a home. They're not as focused on square footage as previous generations. So they're a little bit flexible on the size of the home, and I'm not sure, you know, that their household formation occurred late. Sometimes their balance sheet isn't as far along as maybe previous generations, and so they're very, very price sensitive. Now, the good news for them, of course, is that JD government loans, if you don't have any money, you can
get in for 3 or 3.5% down, and you're going to get a rate in the low threes.
And a 3.5% interest rate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so that's exactly right.
When you look at those numbers, it's as attractive as it can be for an entry-level person to buy a house right now.
Absolutely. 3.5 down, 3.5 rate.
Finding the house, that's another challenge.
Yeah, exactly. Robert, I know, so you hit on this a little bit, but it's kind of the same. You know, the Greenville price points seem to be a little higher than you would find over in Spartanburg. But the inventory levels, and I haven't looked at the Spartanburg MLS. We need to get those numbers and talk about that maybe for next week. But those, the product of what you see over there is mirrors Greenville very much so as far as inventory levels and that sort of
percentage-wise. Maybe this week, Robert, maybe this week we'll have a conversation and you can call in next week and comment on those Spartanburg numbers. So the okay. I checked yesterday, and the state had not released the statistical data, so we didn't have them today. But maybe next day we can spend a little time analyzing them, if you'll put us on your calendar for next Saturday.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Oh, and in regards to new construction, basically that's where people are going, simply because. Especially for the millennials, they are obtaining more of the gadgets, and more stick builders are putting, you know, anything related to attract.
Yep. Robert, hey, listen, bud. Listen, I hate to cut you off. We got to head to a last break. We'll be back right after this.
I hate to cut him off. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, last segment of the show. Appreciate Robert calling in. Sorry we had to cut you off, Robert, heading to our last break of the show there. But we will talk this week, and we'll talk about those Spartanburg numbers.
Have
Keith
him
has
on
some ideas.
Next week, yeah. To dissect Spartanburg numbers a little bit more, I will say one thing about, we were talking about the millennial generation and the new construction being a little more appealing to them. Also, new construction, we didn't talk about the function, energy efficiency, and technology of the new homes.
Sure.
So today, you've got a lot of smart features in new construction. They create a very tight envelope today, JD. They tape the windows. They put that Tyvek material outside. And you've got a 14-SEER HVAC system. You've got a fairly energy-efficient home with a tight envelope,
mm-hmm.
And then you've got some technology integrated into the home,
right?
That that makes life a little easier. So there's a nice appeal to new construction,
yeah, absolutely,
and really across the board, not just the younger generation, but the baby boomers like that too.
Yeah,
they may not know how to use it, but
they like having it. That's right. That's right. Well, listen, if you've got a question or comment, last segment of the show, 866-442-7553, or you can shoot us a text at 71307. We've got about 10 minutes left. And, you know, Keith, one of the topics I thought, you know, we've kind of touched on it so far, but we haven't really dove in too deep, are the buyers for 2020. And there's a lot of buyers that are out there and some that may be listening to the show. You know, you talk about, you know, trying to put a contract on a home, and you miss the first one, you miss the second one. You know, frustration probably sets in a little bit, and you've got to be prepared in 2020 as a buyer. And there's a lot of things that you've got to do, including your mindset, when you're ready to pull the trigger and buy a home.
Yeah, JD, in order to make a decision quickly, which you have to do at the price point we're discussing. So we're talking about inventory up to about 275. If you're looking in that price point, you're going to have to make a decision fairly quickly whether to pass or pull the trigger on anything that you view. In order to do that and have the confidence you need to be comfortable with your decision making, mm-hmm. and not second guess it after you sign the contract, well, you really have to go out, know the market, define your goals and objectives very, very narrowly, have a very clear vision of what your end game is, and be able to evaluate the property. When I'm discussing it with my clients, my goal is for them to be able to evaluate property as well as me.
Right.
So I spend a lot of time front-loading the conversation about evaluating the property. And so once they learn how to do that, then I don't have to evaluate the property for them. And then that gives them great confidence in their decision-making. Now, obviously, they will always want my opinion.
Right.
But most of the time, I'm able to confirm the things that they're thinking and then point out the things that they may have overlooked. and they can make their decision in a short period of time. And recently, we had a number of successes on our first run at a house.
Yeah.
And that's unusual in today's market.
So right.
You're typically going to miss that first one you make an offer on, because putting all that together with confidence is a little bit of a challenge for a first, particularly for a first-time home buyer.
So, you know, what we're saying is, you know, it goes back to that team of experts too. You know, having that buyer's agent, having a clearly defined goals and objectives, having that pre-qualification letter in your hand and going through that process, and having the right mortgage lender in place and having that money ready to go, knowing what type of loan you're going to have, and then having that correct mindset of, okay, this is what we want. This meets our goals and objectives. This is where we want to live. And then not being hesitant is probably the best word, or cautious, when you see what you've described. And, you know, so I think sometimes it catches people, you know, it's kind of like going to the car lot and saying, listen, all I want is a black GMC, you know, Yukon Denali XLT, and I want the leather, and I
That's
want
right.
this and that. And then when you see it, you're kind of like, oh my gosh, this is it.
This is what I've been looking
for. Do I need to pull the trigger on this or not, or, you know, or whatever the situation is. You
That's
know, when
right.
you see that right house, you know, not being hesitant to pull the trigger is important.
Yeah, and taking the emotion, you know, teaching a client how to evaluate property efficiently and effectively, and take the emotion of purchasing that home out of the equation, where they are analyzing and evaluating the property the same as you. That's a little bit of a challenge. In the
Sure.
beginning, you know, I always tell clients, purchasing a home or buying a home is only fun for about the first 5 minutes. After
Right.
that, it's serious work.
Right.
You know,
Right.
it's always fun right at the beginning.
When you find,
when you make that decision, hey, I'm going to buy a house this year. We're in a financial condition to do it. These are our needs. We know where we want to be. That's fun to talk about. And then as soon as you get in the field, it's a serious job and a big decision.
Well, and I think, Keith, you've talked about some previous clients that you've had in the past, and you've walked in the houses before in this market and this, you know, type of environment, and said, you know, by the time this house is probably going to be under contract.
Right. We saw a house recently that was our first viewing was about 48 hours after it came on the market, and I walked in the front door. I didn't even look at the house. I just looked to the right and looked to the left, and I knew that house was going to be under contract.
Right.
And it
was. Because of condition.
Yeah. So it was active while we were there, but I looked at the property history report the next day, and it had went under contract during the day, sometime during the previous day, the day that we saw it.
Sure.
And if it shows up in the MLS under contract, typically it takes a number of hours to exchange the paperwork and change the status.
Yeah.
So you can subtract 12 or 18 hours from when it goes under contract in online from when it actually went under contract.
Right, right. So, you know, technology is such a huge piece of the real estate market these days, and it has continued to become more and more a larger part of, you know, both a real estate agent's job as well as a mortgage professional. But from a real estate agent's perspective and for buyers, you know, you can do so much more online and with technology now than you could, you know, even 10 years ago, five years ago.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, first of all, let me state, nothing replaces viewing the home in person. Okay?
Right.
So the technology is fantastic, but nothing replaces viewing it. There's some things that you can't see online that that you need to see. And
yeah,
what I
sure.
mean is in
yeah.
the attic and in the crawl space.
And everything
things.
Around the
yeah.
house.
Yeah. And the grade of the lot. Sometimes
yeah.
you can't tell that. But I will go out on a limb and say that I can evaluate property more efficiently in a web meeting with a client than I can in a 4-hour outing.
So you can, and what you would do is, let's just say if me and you, if I was your client and we found 10 properties, you know, rather than getting in the car and driving all over, you know, the east side of Greenville or wherever, you sit down with me, and we might go through 10.
No. I schedule a web meeting, not
okay.
sit down.
Yeah, there we
you.
Go. Okay.
No, we just schedule an online meeting, and then through the MLS and Google Maps and tax data and online resources, I can evaluate the property with you while you're in California.
With the purpose of eliminating.
Primarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. So creating a short list.
Yeah. Which makes their job easier, makes your job easier.
Now, the client has to have the ability, just the fact that I can do it doesn't mean it'll work. Because
right.
if the client doesn't understand what we're doing and is comfortable with it, then they'll just have to look at X number of homes before they get to the point where they can make a decision.
Yeah, and I would think that it also helps them define their goals and objectives. You know, there's one thing to define your goals and objectives, and then there's something else when you start getting into the process and you find out that mama wants this and dad wants this.
Reconciling that.
And trying to figure out, where are we going to meet up? What's really important to you? What are the three most important things, and you know, or whatever it might be? You know, I may be thinking about price. She may be thinking about, all the bells and whistles or whatever it may be, you know.
Well, and sometimes vice versa. But I have a worksheet for couples to evaluate their top 10 most important to least important, and ask them to do it independently of each other. And what you find is that they do have different priorities, and they use different language to describe their priorities.
Right.
And then ask them to reconcile that to create their most important to least important feature and characteristic.
Yeah.
So whether, and you include all those things, price, square footage, number of rooms, master bedroom up or down. And then you drill down on characteristics and features, which would not be those basic, not those the big items, but
sure.
but the smaller items. It has to have light cabinets rather than dark cabinets,
yeah.
painted rather than stained.
Mm-hmm.
One bedroom down, no bedrooms down.
Right, master down, master up, whatever you know.
Well, that
two
would
car,
be a,
three car, what you know.
Yeah, those big items are become priorities, but once you get past those. 5, 6, 7 high priority items, then you want to prioritize the features.
Sure.
Things that sometimes you can change but don't want to change.
Right.
Stainless steel appliances versus something else.
Yeah, right.
Hardwood floors versus carpet.
Yeah.
We see LVP in almost everything. Luxury vinyl plank is replacing the standard flooring in almost all entry-level new construction.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow. So, well, listen, Keith, it's been a pretty good show. Not bad for...
We talked a lot anyway, didn't we?
We did, didn't we? Yeah, we did. So appreciate Robert calling us. We'll definitely get with you, Robert, this week and talk about that Spartanburg market. You know, the Spartanburg market is a little bit here and there, I know, but it'll be interesting. I'd love to do a deep dive with him and maybe devote a segment to
No, I think
the different
we should.
Pockets and areas over
and
there,
and that's
too.
Part of our listening audience, right?
Absolutely.
So it should be part of our conversation.
Yep. So, Keith, I'm going to put you on the spot like I always like to do. I need a prediction for Monday.
LSU by 21.
All right, you say LSU by 21. Ooh. I say LSU by 90. They did. Should be a great game. Looking forward to it. Good luck. Good luck to all the Clemson Tigers out there. I know you guys will be excited about the game. And safe travels to everyone that's traveling down to New Orleans. I hope a lot of storms coming up. So if you're driving, be careful. Take shelter. And we'll be back here on House Plans next week. Talk to you then. Go Tigers.